The disciples came to Jesus with a question, and Jesus responds to their question in his typical fashion, with no easy answer. Without a simple answer to give them, Jesus issues his disciples a call to vulnerability. The greatest in the kingdom of heaven are those who are last in the kingdom on earth. Those who will be great are those who you consider to be little. And Jesus drives this point home by making two points. First, Jesus talks about the seriousness of causing little ones to sin. He says that being a stumbling block to those who you consider to be little is an offense to God. So offensive, in fact, that causing a little one to stumble is warned against 6 times in verses 6 through 9. And to drive the point home, Jesus uses the most powerful image he can conjure for his listeners to illustrate: the image of a huge millstone tied around someone's neck and they're being tossed into the sea. He also employs hyperbole here, the literary device of exaggerating to make a statement in a powerful way. Jesus says that it would be better to cut off your foot or gouge out your eye if they lead you astray, rather than to face the judgment of God. Second, Jesus admonishes people for despising those who they consider little, whether because of age, gender, economic status, sexual identity, or a perceived disability. God takes looking down on others seriously. God loves everyone, but it is clear here that God recognizes the greater needs of some over others and offers a special portion of grace to those who have them. That is the God who leaves the 99 to chase after the one who has fallen away. It says in this morning's text that Jesus called to himself a little child. One of the biblical scholars who offers valuable insight on Jesus' disciples is Ray Vanderlaan. He points out a few facts about the disciples that I think it's important to note here. First, Jesus' disciples were blue-collar folks. They were guys whose hands got dirty and who probably smelled funny after a day working in the fields or fishing on boats. Most of these guys were people who others considered to be little. Second, the disciples were guys who weren't smart enough to go on to study the Torah, because the kids who got the grades, the cream of the crop, so to speak, were placed in rabbinical school after their bar mitzvah at age 12. The guys who followed Jesus, these were the guys who didn't make the cut. And thirdly, Jesus' disciples were young, between the ages of 12 and 20, with Peter being the oldest and John being the youngest. We know this from the clues that we receive in other passages in the Gospels. There's that one scene where Jesus and his disciples are at the temple and they need to pay tax. They only needed to pay tax for two there: Jesus, who was around 30 years old, and Peter, who was married and probably around the age of 20. Only men over the age of 20 were required to pay the temple tax. It is with these facts in mind that Ray Vanderlaan points out that when Jesus pulled a child to himself, he was probably pulling over the disciple John. John was likely the youngest of the disciples, probably about 12 years old. He was likely a kid with a lot of energy who the guys had their share of fun picking on. Vanderlaan supports this idea by pointing to the fact that John is referred to as the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's not that Jesus loved John and not the others, but because Jesus had a particular affinity for the least, the lost, the last, and the little. And in this case, the case of John, the littlest. Vanderlaan also points to a scene later in the Gospels where we read that the mother of John and his big brother James, the sons of thunder as they're sometimes called, another insight into their personalities, well, she had the gall to ask Jesus if he would place her sons beside him on his throne in his kingdom someday, one at his right and the other at his left. She dared to ask this question because she knew that Jesus had a special place in his heart for John. And she wanted the same for her son James, too. But Jesus points out in this morning's story, as he does again and again to his disciples, that they are missing the point. We're often tempted to objectify children, to look at childhood through the nostalgic lens of simpler times. That's not the image Jesus is trying to bring to mind here. To become like a child, according to Jesus, is to be the kid who gets bullied. Jesus loved John more not because there was something special or amazing about him. Jesus loved John more because there wasn't. The Belhar Confession, one of the documents at the heart of what this church believes, testifies that in a world full of injustice and enmity, God is in a special way the God of the destitute, the poor, and the wronged. And that is the point that Jesus is making here. Jesus loves the little ones. Every summer when I was a kid, my mom would bring me and my siblings to my grandparents' house to swim at their pool with my cousins. These were the days before most people had air conditioning in their houses, so spending the day in the pool was just perfect for those hot Michigan summers. Some of my favorite memories from those days are of my cousin Mike. Mike and his twin brother Matt were 2 years younger than me. Mike was born with a cognitive impairment and some physical deformities and disabilities, and he died when he was just 6 years old. But I still have vivid memories of those childhood summers and my cousin Mike running around the pool in his life jacket, even though we weren't supposed to. Of Mike running and jumping off the diving board into the deep end of the pool, laughing the whole way. His laughter was contagious. Mike is the perfect image of a disciple to me, because Mike had courage. While the rest of us hummed and hawed and dared one another to jump into the deep end of the pool, Mike didn't stop to think about it. He just did it, without fear, and he loved it. My cousin Mike's favorite song was "Jesus Loves Me." We sang it at his funeral. I think we all need to be a little more like Mike. And that means not pointing to others as the little ones, but recognizing that we are all little ones before the face of God. I want us to sing my cousin Mike's favorite song this morning, but I have altered one of the lines for us to sing. Instead of singing, "They are weak, but he is strong," I want to invite you to sing, "We are weak, but he is strong." Because we are. But God goes before us.